I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at S&I Remodeling and other great local sponsors. Joining us now, Scott Nyland, who we haven't talked to for a while at S&I Remodeling. So, Scott, this is the time of year when people start thinking about spring and enjoying more of their property. How can S&I help?
Well, we do, Sly, as you know, A to Z almost, additions, kitchens, bathrooms, basements, porches, screen porches.
Outhouses? Do you build outhouses?
Well, we could. We could. We won't come back and empty it, though. That's on you, baby.
But you'll build just about anything.
I will. And, this is come June, this will be our 30th year. We're hitting 3-0 this year.
Congratulations.
Yep, I'll be 30 this year. Started when I was 0.
Uh-huh. Well, you still act like you're 30.
I know. Don't tell anybody, though.
Well, I think you put it up on Facebook, my friend.
I might. There's possibility.
I was a little worried. So let me ask you this. There's a lot of people that have come and gone that have been in the remodeling business over the last 30 years. And if you open In Business magazine, you'll see that some of them owe suppliers money. Some of them they haven't completed work. There's judgments against them. How do you keep afloat in a very tough business?
Honesty.
Well, that's pretty simple. That's one word.
It really is. Doing what you say you're going to do, doing a good job, and those couple things right there take a guy a really long way. And we've lost some money on jobs and whatnot, but we do what we say we're going to do. We do it for the price we say we're going to do, and we do a good job. So in the end, customers, I've had 30 years of customers writing checks and no scowls, and I'm sure I've made a customer mad here or there. I'm not going to lie, but I'll tell you what, I close every job. I close every job. I make sure the client is happy with the work. And we've had a really good luck. I mean, maybe it's not luck. We've worked hard, but I've had some really good guys work for me through the years.
So this time of year, a lot of people want decks. A lot of people want porches. And boy, I've seen some decks that people have spent a lot of money on not hold up very well. When S&R puts a deck on a house, can you tell me the difference between your deck and then some of the ones that people have complained about that you've replaced?
Well, I think a lot of it is material, and a lot of it is, poor craftsmanship. Getting somebody, that works for you to be able to build, a lot of that stuff is built on the fly where you're, sitting down with the homeowner and making sure that we're, giving them everything that they, want as far as wear, location, size, all that good stuff. And the materials are big. We shop at Marling Lumber, and they've been around 3 times as long as I have, and then some. And, they stand behind their product. And, if they have bad product or a bad vendor, they get rid of them. If they have a vendor that's not standing behind the quality of their material, they get rid of them. And so I've seen some, some suppliers and vendors, different products come and go. And it's usually like, hey, that product is a real pain to use, or it won't last, or you're getting callbacks on it. And, that's the professionals out there in the construction trade are kind of making that stuff go bye-bye. So if you go to the right spot to buy the right stuff, you should have good luck.
And obviously those supplies probably cost a little more, right?
Yep, they do. Absolutely. For example, let's say, you're building a treated deck at the and you know, 12 by 12, whatever the size, and it's $4,000. You go to cedar, it's $5,000. You go to composite, you know, it's 8 to 10. But then you're, you know, getting out your mop bucket and a little soapy water in the spring and scrubbing it down for the next 20 years. You're not doing all the staining and scraping and all that fun stuff that you have to do with some of the other unfinished decks. So it depends on what you want to spend. You either pay now or you pay later. It's, you know, it's a pretty simple process that, you know, we've known for a lot of years, and it doesn't matter if you're talking about decks or anything else.
How about porches?
Well, we like to sit out on them and throw things at people as they drive by. Does that count?
Well, that's fun. You know, when I was a little boy and my grandparents lived in the north side of Milwaukee, everybody was out on their porches, you know?
Yep.
They congregated in the front of the house rather than the back of the house.
That is kind of a funny thing these days. And when I see a front porch, or not so much a front porch, but it is a front deck, it always seems odd to me that people potentially put their front deck out on the front of their house. So there's no privacy there. But ultimately, we have built many a porches. We have built, covered porches, screen porches, whatever fits on your house and you need to have, we can do it.
Yeah, some people can build their own porches. Somehow my father found a way to do that, both at our house in Milwaukee and Madison, and he had help. He was a perfectionist, but, because he was such a perfectionist, they're both still standing.
Yeah.
But most people don't have those skills. So
no, and it's good to find the right guy that does.
So should you spend a lot of money on a porch? I mean, is it something that enhances the value of the house to the point that it equals out your money back when you sell the house?
Oh, I think it really does. And I'll tell you, I have a screened in porch on the back of my house that I didn't have. I've been in my place for 20 years and it was a deck. And I live out in the town of Dunn area. And I'll tell you what, there are some years where you have to run from the car to the house to get, I mean, the bugs are so bad that, you know, you don't even get to use that deck. You might lose the deck for the summer if the bugs in the water are that bad. And we're out on our porch all the time, even when the bugs are bad. And it's so nice. I think if the one thing I was going to, you know, recommend a customer put on their house, one that they get to use and two that they're going to get to benefit from the sale later, that the screen porch is the place, I think, for the family to hang out, and we can build some really nice ones.
And if you want that done this summer, you better call S&R pretty quick, huh?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's still really busy. We get a lot of calls, and it's it's not something that happens tomorrow. So if you do want to have something done, if you call now, it's probably going to take you a couple months to get on a docket where you're actually starting to see some work by the time you go through the design process and the estimate process. So, yeah, I mean, no time like the present for sure.
Right. Tell me what's new in kitchens. Tell me what's exciting and new. What trends are you seeing in kitchens?
Well, I mean, the stuff just keeps getting nicer. The tile, the countertops, so many things to choose from. Cabinetry with self-closing drawers, self-closing doors, and you know, all the different spice racks and pantries. And you know, all the pantries nowadays are in the cabinets and not in the closet like they used to be. I don't want to be in the closet either, to be honest. You know? But we'll leave that alone for right now. The appliances, I mean, everything is just, you know, crazy nice and new. And, it's like computers, you know, you buy one and then all of a sudden, bam, there's the new next thing. And it's really cool.
That's very true. And obviously, when kitchens are a major investment, some people spend, what, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on a kitchen, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've done kitchens from, you know, 15,000 to 80, 90 plus. I mean, I think the last one we did, the client spent 35, 40 some thousand just on cabinets. Now, that doesn't mean that you got to do that to get a nice kitchen. We do a lot of medium kitchens that are really nice when they're done, decent product, nice looking. You don't have to spend the world, but if you want to, sky's the limit.
Let me ask you about hiring a contractor and being prepared to put the process into motion where everything turns out well. What are the mistakes people make when hiring a contractor and their involvement in the plans for whatever they want remodeled or added onto?
Well, I think sometimes you know what I find is that people, you know, as they get into the process, you know, they don't think about this at the beginning. They don't think it through well enough, and you know, they may go backwards to go forward a little bit on, in some occasions. They didn't. All of a sudden, they're in midstream. Now, I'm an honest guy, and I'm going to give you an honest shake. But if the client has, you know, something they want down the road, and they have a contractor that maybe not as honest as I am, you know, those extras and stuff like that may cost you more than they should. And so, ultimately, if you can come up with that stuff before you get started and negotiate and agree on the price,
give me an
so
example.
That you're not having to renegotiate okay. on something that you want in the project, in the middle of the project, that's always suggested for clients.
Give me an example.
Well, any extras, you know, I want to take this wall out and put a beam in here and open this up into the living room. You're in the middle of the project, you don't think about it, and all of a sudden, hey, let's okay. try this, let's do this, and then some contractors would take advantage of that situation. They're already in the house, they're already there. Now, instead of that beam in the wall costing you $2,000, it might cost you $4,000. And there's really not a lot that you can do because you're in the middle of the project.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if you think that stuff through at the beginning, you get that stuff out there, you know, before you start tearing drywall off, a lot of times you're better off.
Let me ask you this. When you send somebody out to give someone an estimate, does that estimator ask more questions or listen to what the client wants?
Well, you really got to do both. Sometimes, obviously, the clients aren't remodelers, so you have to ask a lot of questions to see what they want as an end result. Our initial estimate, we've been told by many, many people that they're very detailed, and you know, people like that. They like to, you know, have the detail on the initial estimate. It's not 100%, but ultimately, you know, we try and think that stuff through. And the only way you get to that point, Sly, is by asking questions, you know, making suggestions, kind of working through that process to see how do they use their kitchen, what is important to them, you know, those type of things.
The difference between S&I remodeling, sending someone out, and some of these big firms, it strikes me that maybe the difference partly is some of these guys that other firms send out, they kind of work on a quota, and their main job is to go out there and sell the person more than they need. Is that a possibility?
Well, it's a big possibility, and especially if you get into some of the really long-term firms and bigger firms. You know, one of the things we do at S&R is I do have an estimator that goes out, his name is Steve. He goes out and meets the client. But when he gets done meeting the client and comes back, we kind of go through, him and I, go through the project. We look things over, the things they talk about, what do they want. And then when that price gets put together, it goes across my desk. And I look at it. I make sure that people are being treated fair, that the company can make a little bit of money too. And, you know, the last thing I want is somebody, you know, getting price gouged. Steve doesn't work on commission.
So, see.
He doesn't, it doesn't help him one bit to sell you a $15,000 kitchen or a $100,000 kitchen, because in the end, he's making pretty much the same, where a lot of these big places are paying these guys based on commission. So let's say, for example, you want a $30,000 kitchen, you know, or, you know, you'll get a, you know, hey, we can do that. It's $40,000. They don't even got to sit down and write anything on a piece of paper because they already know they can do it for $30,000. But there's, you know, it's a lot of times they'll bid it high. They, you know, it's busy out there, so people have a hard time finding a good contractor. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you get from a lot of the bigger places.
All right. You've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
I do.
And one of the reasons is you're particular about who you hire. But it's not easy finding good people, is it?
It's one of the biggest challenges that I have owning a business, honestly. Making money is number two, of course.
So the difference between the guys you send out and some of these other places, it may undercut you bid-wise.
You know, the difference is we, you know, if we get a new guy in, you know, he's watched closely. His workmanship, what he can do, each guy that works for me can do a little bit different. This guy's good at this, this guy's good at that. Knowing who those people are and what they can do is important. And I feel like we have a really good handle on who we're sending to your house, whether it be a subcontractor or a employee of mine.
And of course, you know, when we talk about sending people to your house, there's a level of trust. Your guys are trained to keep things clean and tidy and be very careful in somebody else's house.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I do nicely that's for the client, even though I might not be there pounding the nails like I used to for years and years.
Oh, come on, Scott.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I have to, but usually that's not a good day. Because when the boss gets on the job, and it's because somebody else failed, usually. But one of the things that I do, Sly, is I give them my cell phone number right out of the gate. If a client, any and all clients, get my cell phone number, and I just say, look, if you come home and something's awry, the door's left open, you know, because it happens, let's be honest. We're not 100% perfect. We're 99.9.
Right.
You know, and so I give them my cell phone so they can call me at home or you know, call me on my phone and make me aware of things. And I think it's a level of comfort that people appreciate.
You've got a good staff. Some of these guys have been around a while.
I've got people that have been with me over a decade. I've got a few people that have been with me over a decade. And I got to be honest, it was probably a couple days ago I threw this out there that, you know, how happy I am with the people that are working for me. And it makes a huge difference as far as how the company runs and how the employees, if the employees are happy and, you know, all that good stuff, it makes a, you know, makes a big difference in morale.
All right. If you want a deck, you want a porch, time for a kitchen, maybe time for a bathroom, even painting, rec room remodeling, whatever. If you want something done, how do you go about it with S&R?
Well, you call my office at 222-8044. You talk to Amy or Heather, and they will get you on the docket.
And you should be ready with what? Before
What's
S&R,
that?
You should be what should you have ready when S&R comes out to your house to do an estimate?
You should have spent a little bit of time thinking about what you want as a finished project. You know, if it's a deck or a kitchen or a basement remodel, what do you want? The more that you think that through and the more you can provide us with, the more accurate an estimate can be.
Okay.
You know, kitchens, countertops, you know, what kind? Solid surface, granite. You don't have to give us exactly what you want. But the closer that you can get to what you want as a finished project, even photos, magazines, online surfing, that's going to get
careful,
you a closer estimate.
Careful with that online surfing.
I know. Be careful. I have a real problem with the online surfing. But
it's easy to get distracted, isn't it?
Next thing you know, there's 12 boxes in front of the house. I won't tell you what's in the box.
Oh, God. All right. Scott, thank you for coming on, and thank you for all the great work S&R Remodeling has done over the years.
You bet. I appreciate you having us on.
All right. Scott from S&R Remodeling, remember, that's 222-8044. srremodeling.com or on Facebook. You're always updating the work people do as well, right?
I am, yes.
All right. Scott from S&R Remodeling at slysoffice.com.
slysoffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.